From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, November 19th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Douglas Ridge, a new eco-conservation subdivision in Brunswick dedicated to nature-centric sustainable home design. More at douglasridge.com. And by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
Independent state lawmaker Jeffrey Evangelos has asked the Maine Attorney General's office to review a contested finding in the death of a Massachusetts man while hiking in Maine this summer. The state's chief medical examiner, Dr. Mark Flomenbaum, determined alcoholism was a factor, but the man's family disputes the finding. Evangelos says he made the request after the Bangor Daily News reported that two other forensic toxicologists who evaluated the case determined the alcohol found in the man's blood was due to the decay of his body.
It just lends to concerns about the issues of his credibility.
Evangelos says the case will be added to a complaint he filed last winter against Flomenbaum. That a complaint, which is still under review, stemmed from the medical examiner changing his mind about his findings in a murder case that resulted in a mistrial. The Attorney General's office did not respond to a request for comment. More retailers and restaurants are eliminating toxic chemicals from food packaging, according to a report from the coalition Safer Chemicals, Healthy Families. Mike Bellevaux of the Environmental Health Strategy Center in Maine co-authored the report. He says that of 43 retail chains evaluated, nearly two-thirds have made improvements since last year.
So, for example, retailers like Hannaford and Panera Bread are now phasing out toxic PFAS, the forever chemicals, and also phthalates, which we call the everywhere chemicals, from food packaging.
PFAS resist grease, but have been linked to cancer and other health problems. Bellevaux says there's more work to be done because 14 retailers failed to take any action. A new report assessing policies that promote LGBTQ equality finds communities in Maine scored below the national average. In its annual Municipal Equality Index, the Washington, D.C.-based Human Rights Campaign surveyed 500 municipalities across the U.S., including nine in Maine. Among assessed criteria are comprehensive non-discrimination laws, contractor non-discrimination policies, and city employee domestic partner benefits. Changes could soon come to the system that delivers free legal services to poor people in Maine facing criminal prosecution. That system is under new scrutiny for lax oversight of the billing practices by the private attorneys the state commissions to defend low-income clients. And there's a scathing report released in April that details significant shortcomings that could affect the quality of that legal representation. As Steve Missler reports, a quick overhaul of the system may be necessary to avoid a costly lawsuit.
A landmark 1963 U.S. Supreme Court decision required all states to provide an attorney to poor people unable to afford their own lawyer. 49 states now meet that requirement through some version of a public defender's office and a staff of attorneys. Maine is the only state that hires and assigns private attorneys to what are known as indigent cases. But a report released in April by the nonpartisan Sixth Amendment Center found that the system is failing indigent clients and possibly taxpayers.
It found that the attorney qualification standards are too lenient, that training is inadequate, and that oversight is practically non-existent.
Allison B.A., director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine, summarized the report during Tuesday's hearing by the Maine Commission on Indigent Legal Services, which oversees the system. B.A. told the commission about a case the ACLU won earlier this year after it challenged a shoplifting conviction that could have stripped a woman's access to addiction treatment. B.A. says the woman's first attorney, rostered by the Indigent Legal Services Commission, had previously been suspended from practicing law for incompetence, and he was later reprimanded by the Board of Bar Overseers for conduct unworthy of an attorney.
In other words, this commission continued to hire a lawyer who had been sanctioned by the bar overseers three times, including a suspension.
The Sixth Amendment report also scrutinized the billings by the private attorneys rostered by the commission, and it prompted an investigation by Pine Tree Watch, a nonprofit news service that homed in on an explosion in the legal services budget from roughly $10 million in 2011 to more than $21 million last year, and potentially $2.2 million in overbilling by private attorneys. Pine Tree Watch also examined billings by Fairfield & Associates, a law firm that charged the commission $1.5 million last year, which prompted an investigation by the commission's director. On Tuesday, attorney Amy Fairfield defended her firm's work and invited the commission to examine its billings.
I want to make it very clear that I will open my books, I will open my doors, I will do whatever anybody feels they need to see or do with regard to how our office runs.
Vouching for Fairfield's firm was one of its biggest clients, Anthony Sanborn.
I don't think any money is ever wasted on defending somebody, especially if they are innocent.
Sanborn was convicted in 1993 for murdering his girlfriend, Jessica Briggs. But attorney Fairfield reached a deal 2 years ago that ended his 70-year sentence. It was Fairfield's first post-conviction review, and she billed the Indigent Legal Services Commission more than 2,000 hours. Those billings highlighted gaps in the commission's oversight, although the subsequent review by the commission director drew no sanctions. But Fairfield says the scrutiny reveals a fundamental obstacle in providing free defense to the poor, public perceptions of criminal defendants.
Certainly, we've never been a particularly sympathetic group, and unfortunately, our clients aren't either.
Numerous studies of indigent defense programs around the country have found a litany of problems, from underfunded public defender offices to court-appointed attorneys who are swamped with hundreds of felony cases in a single year. And according to Jamesa Drake, president of the Maine Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, attorneys rostered by the Maine Indigent Legal Services Commission often get a bad reputation.
Rostered attorneys are often maligned as grifters who are looking to take advantage of the system.
Such arguments seem to resonate with Commissioner Ronald Schneider, an attorney at Bernstein & Schur, who told Anthony Sanborn that his recent release from the Maine State Prison was because his court-appointed attorney worked hard to exonerate him.
And I think what's particularly unfortunate is that you received extremely high-quality, diligent defense that costs a lot of money, but not nearly as much as it would cost if you hired me, because I charge a whole lot more than $60 an hour.
The costs of providing indigent legal defense are likely to stay under the microscope as the commission eyes changes to the current system. Some are advocating for Maine to adopt a public defender system, although previous proposals in recent years have failed to gain traction in the legislature because of concerns over costs and pushback from defense attorneys. But the threat of a lawsuit alleging that Maine's current system is inadequate looms and was floated during testimony by the ACLU on Tuesday. And that means that the Indigent Legal Services Commission is already contemplating changes in billing practices and oversight of rostered attorneys, changes that could come as soon as next year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. I'm Ed Morin.